Welcome to Sabbatical 101. My name is Bethany Walensky, and I'm an associate professor at Michigan State University. I had a life-changing sabbatical, and I'm on a mission to help fellow academics do the same. This podcast is a resource for all things academic sabbaticals. Each episode will provide you with inspiration and insight into the sabbatical planning process, regardless of your institution, discipline, length of sabbatical, or where you plan to sabbatical. I'm so excited to have you along for the ride.
Hey everyone, thanks so much for listening. Just a quick heads up, I'm going to be recording 4 more episodes over the course of April, and then I'm taking the summer off from the podcast. There are going to be something like 34 episodes, so if you're looking for content, there should be plenty for you to listen to. But I decided that as much as I love recording podcasts, I also need to practice what I preach, what I talk to my sabbatical coaching clients about all the time, making time for rest and rejuvenation. And so this summer, I'm going to downshift a little bit. I will still be working with my wonderful coaching clients, of course, but I'm going to put the podcast on hold until the fall semester. So again, just a quick heads up. But I hope that you will tune into some of the older episodes over the summer or, you know, enjoy taking a break too, and we'll catch up again in the fall. The inspiration for this week's episode was attending a conference. So I'm recording this on March 31st, and last week I was at an academic conference of the Comparative and International Education Society, or CIES. And this is one of my favorite conferences. I've been going to it ever since I was a master's student, and it's a really nice size conference. There are about 3,000 attendees, which I guess to some might seem like a lot, but it's much smaller than the big US-focused education conference. So it's kind of this, what I always tell people is if you stand still long enough in the conference hotel, you'll run into at least one person that you know. And it's just, it still holds true. It's so great to go to this conference every year and to run into friends and colleagues that I sometimes only see once a year, but I really enjoy reconnecting with them. So anyway, why am I telling you all of this? Being at CIES this past week helped me realize and reflect on how far I've come in the past couple years and since my sabbatical. So I've said it many times before, but the run-up to my sabbatical was just exhausting. I was so overwhelmed and burned out. And when I think about the conferences that I've attended over the past, I don't know, when did we start going back to in-person conferences? 2022. So since we started going back to in-person conferences, I've found conferences so hard. And I was beginning to think that it was me. I was thinking, you know, maybe this is a remnant of COVID. I've become really bad at making small talk. I'm not as good at networking as I used to be. And fortunately, this week at CIES really changed that narrative for me. And as I was thinking about it, I realized that so much of that is the lasting impact of my sabbatical. And so I just want to tell you a little bit about that lasting impact. And as always, I'm using my experience as an example. I realize that not, you know, you don't have the same experience as I do, and that you're going to have other long-lasting impacts from your sabbatical. But the idea is to just give you something to wrap your head around and to imagine, how can what happens on your sabbatical, what you plan for, the kinds of things you prioritize, shape your career trajectory moving forward? So here's my reflection on how my sabbatical continues to affect my personal and professional life. At CIES, I was presenting current work that I'm doing in Tanzania with a colleague. And what it made me think of is how before my sabbatical, I was so burned out that, and I actually decided, I thought that I wanted to do my sabbatical in Tanzania. And then I decided I didn't want to do it in Tanzania because I just couldn't take on another project. And I really needed a little bit of space from that work. And so by giving myself that space and letting myself rest and recuperate during my sabbatical, I was able to get excited about my research again. So my sabbatical started in August 2023. I was completely burned out. I just couldn't do any work or couldn't do any work productively. By the time January rolled around in 2024, I was really surprised that I wanted to get back to doing my research. And part of that getting back to doing my research was really thinking deeply about what exactly I was doing and how, which elements of my projects I wanted to continue to move forward, which things I was done with that I had taken on for a variety of reasons, and I just wasn't really motivated to continue. And I also took some time to think about what were some new directions or new collaborations that I wanted to pursue. So again, I've said this a million times, but I think the reason that I was able to come back with that energy and feeling like I cared about my research again was because I had taken time early on in the planning process to identify the purpose of my sabbatical, which was to rest and overcome burnout. And then I built in time for rest, for exploring new places and having family adventures during those first months of my sabbatical. So during the second half of my sabbatical, again, felt excited about work again. I spent time reflecting on what I had accomplished in my career so far, what I wanted to prioritize moving forward, and what I would need to do in order to put that in place, in order to do that. So here's what I think are some of the most important lasting impacts or the ripple effects of my sabbatical, which, again, as I sat there at this academic conference, almost a year after the conclusion of my sabbatical, I felt like I could see these ripple effects so clearly. My sabbatical allowed me to get really clear about my research priorities. This has helped me much more easily determine how to focus my time and energy, and also to identify what I say no to, which just, let's face it, it feels really good. Whenever I say no to something or whenever I'm considering whether I should say yes to an opportunity, I imagine the outcome if I say yes. So I imagine myself 4 or 6 months into the future doing the thing that I said I would do. And I imagine how that feels, how it fits into the ecology of my life, to my other professional obligations. And then I imagine how I would feel if I say no. You know, what are the downsides? What are the real downsides? Sometimes we imagine there are going to be downsides or consequences that don't actually exist. They only exist in my mind. And more often than not, that's led to me saying no unless something really clearly aligns with my professional trajectory, values, and priorities. There are so many great opportunities out there, and I'm not trying to say, you know, you should say no to everything that comes your way. But what I realized during my sabbatical is just the value of not overextending myself, and how much more effective I am when I'm working in alignment with my priorities, and I'm much more focused. So again, my work in Tanzania, I think prior to sabbatical, was a little scattered. I was, you know, working on building a playground. We were creating an app for teacher professional development. I was doing other research in pre-primary classrooms. I was trying to move all these projects forward. And by doing that, I wasn't getting anything done. And so now I have a new research collaboration that's working out really well. And we have a really clear idea of where we're going. And, you know, of course, it's not 100% set in stone, but I've been able to identify a way forward that feels really good. And so I think that helped me feel a lot better about being at a conference because I was able to say, this is what I'm working on. I'm not working on 5 different things. I'm working on this one thing, and here's why it matters. And it enabled me to be really strategic about the sessions that I attended and the meetings that I had. And everything was just kind of moving in the same direction, which felt so gratifying. Another thing that has been a lasting impact of my sabbatical is just the fact that I'm not waiting to enjoy life until some point when I'm more successful or have more money or the other things that we tell ourselves need, or my kids are older, right? The things we tell ourselves need to be in place before we can really, I don't know, do something fun or do something for ourselves. You may have guessed this by listening to the podcast, but you know, my husband and I really value travel. We like exploring. We also like spending time together as a family, and we've instilled a love of travel in our children. And so we are prioritizing having adventures together as a family, and we're really committed to making it happen as much as possible. And I think sabbatical just reinforced for me the importance of having that time together as a family, you know, while we're all healthy and can enjoy it, right? We don't know what the future is going to bring. And so why not enjoy life now in the ways that are meaningful to us and in the ways we really value? The other thing that's really stands out as a lasting impact of my sabbatical is that my identity is no longer completely wrapped up in my scholarship or my academic position. And I think this, I can attribute this to a couple things. First, when we moved to Bordeaux and I started meeting people and making friends, I was really struck by the fact that no one really cared or wanted to hear about the work that I did. In my life in the US, we live in Ann Arbor, which is, you know, a university town. And then I commute to East Lansing, which is another university town. And so I know a lot of professors or people with PhDs, and we tend to talk a lot about our work, right? Because that's a big part of our lives. But beyond kind of wanting to understand why we had moved to France for 5 months and what we were doing there, people did not really want to ask about my research or go in depth about, you know, academia in the US, the kinds of things I talk about with my friends here. And that was kind of uncomfortable at first, but then also really freeing because I realized that I can make friends and I have things to talk about that are not just my job. And, you know, it may sound kind of silly, but I don't think it was until my sabbatical that I truly made friends as an adult that were not at all related to being an academic. So that was revelatory to me, and it made me realize I might be an interesting person beyond my scholarship. And then the second thing that I think moved the needle on this was just trying out some new hobbies. I got back into running and I took a pottery class. So in those conversations with friends, I had other things to talk about that weren't just my academic life, which had up until that point been so central. And then I started this sabbatical coaching business, and that was really empowering in a lot of ways because not only is it exciting to do and helping me learn new things and exercise different muscles, right? And tap into different skills. But it provided some evidence to me that I have some skills and interests beyond my research agenda. These are just a few areas of my life that I think have truly shifted as a result of my sabbatical. And I would encourage you, if you're on sabbatical right now, to think about, you know, where do you see change happening? How are you different from when your sabbatical had just started or from when you were planning your sabbatical? And then how do you think you can make sure you carry those changes forward? You know, things that you're feeling really good about. What are the habits or the mindsets or just the ways of being in the world that you want to continue to be part of your experience or continue to enact? Maybe make a quick list, right? Because it's really easy to just slide right back into old habits. And so I said at the beginning of the podcast that I'm taking the summer off from the podcast. My ability to say I'm going to decelerate or, you know, rest more during the summer is completely an artifact of my sabbatical because I am a person who typically just wants to go, 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 do more and more. So taking the time to intentionally slow down and say, it'll be okay if I don't record another episode until September. I'm allowed to take that time to rest and relax. That is something that I would not have given myself permission to do before my sabbatical. So I'd encourage you to think about what is changing for you, what has changed for you, and how can you be intentional about carrying that forward? And then if you're someone who's thinking about a sabbatical that's coming up, how are you hoping it might change your life? What do you hope will be different on the other side? I would love for you to just think about this and then think about okay, if this is the person you want to be at the end, and maybe it's hard to envision this. I would say that the ways sabbatical has changed me are not all things I could have predicted. So we do need to leave some room for magic here, some room for the unexpected. But I think we can also be intentional about identifying the purpose of a sabbatical and planning it with intention so that we allow changes we desire to take root and to flourish during our sabbatical. And if you are someone who has a sabbatical coming up and you want to talk more about how your sabbatical can be life-changing and transformative, no matter what your field is, no matter what your institution is, no matter how long your sabbatical is, I would love to talk. So please click on the link in the show notes to get in touch with me. And thanks so much for listening. And here's to life-changing sabbaticals.
I hope you found this episode of Sabbatical 101 helpful and inspirational as you think about your own sabbatical. If you want to read more about sabbaticals or get even more support for planning your own life-changing sabbatical, head over to my website, www.bethanywalinsky.com, to read my blog and for more information about my sabbatical coaching program.